Hello everyone, just want to let you know that you can save 25% off your order by using the promo code COZY on checkout on the merch store. Also, thank you for listening to this episode of the COZY Cryptid. Oh, hold on. Let me turn on my audio. I think you're fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me on the live stream or?
Yeah, picking up. My mic picking.
Oh, okay, cool.
Damn, audio was picking. So, hi everybody. This is COZY Cryptid Podcast. I'm here with the host of Laughs and Rick, Mile.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. I'm just big chilling. Big chilling right now.
Feel ya. Had a busy weekend?
A little bit. So, everybody's out of the house, and it's pretty much just me holding down the fort and stuff. So, that's... Part of that is I have more time on my hands to do like podcasting stuff now.
Yeah.
So I've been mostly doing that, just trying to catch up and bank some episodes. Like right now, today I'm going to finish recording one of my mini episodes about, I don't know if you saw this a while back. There was a chick on Twitch who was like shaming followers into trying to get them to donate for subs. Oh, it was real bad. It was real rough. Now I know that's pretty much like it's already happened, people have talked about it, but I'm using it kind of as a backdrop for a rant, so I've just been preparing for that.
That's messed up. What the fuck?
Oh yeah, no, she was straight up saying like, oh, if you don't have $5 to sub, you need to like go back to work and you shouldn't be watching Twitch and like all this bullshit. It was like, oh my god.
I wish she got banned.
She lost like do what? She didn't get banned. She lost 87,000 subscribers, I think, in like overnight.
Yeah.
So, like, she deserved that shit. No joke. She deserved that shit.
Dude, Twitch is fun. Dude, like it. Like,
wait, I've only just recently been getting into Twitch.
Oh, you like play games or something? Or you use it for podcasting?
I mostly just, podcasting. That's what I use it for. Primarily, so it's just me coming in and doing like long form video stuff here on Twitch. Like I was recently on, actually just the other day I was on, last Thursday I was supposed to have a guest come on, but they kind of had to bail at the last minute, which is fine. They had a family emergency and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, life happens, but it was going to be a deep dive into pickup artistry, like as an industry and just how ridiculous and crazy all that shit is. And it ended up being more of a variety, sort of spin the wheel. We'll talk about whatever the wheel lands on. And I did cover some of that, but I was really hoping to be able to dive more into it, you know?
Yeah. Obviously, get into it. With, like, yeah. What about pick up from people? What should I get more into?
Well, so So pickup artistry has been around for a long time, and there's some dudes out there who are just like, oh, just do what I do, I get bitches, and if you do my thing, you'll get bitches too. And then there's some dudes in the industry who, like, it's like they read a psychology textbook without taking any classes,
yeah,
and are like, I am now a psychology expert, and I have the 10 things you need to seduce any woman. And it's like a bunch of bullshit psychology. And I was actually bringing on one of my friends, Samantha from the Random Acts of Self podcast. She is finishing her master's degree in psychology, and I was going to have her kind of walk through and like explain why the things they're saying are bullshit. Because I don't have that background. My degree was in economics, and you know, my specialty is like telling dick jokes and stuff. Like I can't poke professional holes in that, but I can point out when they're being predatory and just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, so, what's that one thing? Like when like they assault them and someone gets their attention, it makes them vulnerable. What's that called?
Yeah, it's weird. They pick up on these like just the most predatory type of psychology, right? Like they're going after usually girls who, one, are okay with just being solicited by random strangers, which when you think about it is like, there's very few times in my life where I'm okay with just random people coming up to talk to me. Because like when I go out, I got my headphones in, you know, I'm on a mission. I'm going to the grocery store. That's what this trip is about, you know? There's not a whole lot of stopping to conversate along the way. I mean, I'll do that, like, if I have to, like, take the bus or something. Like, I'll talk to the people next to me. If I'm at a bar, I'm cool with just chatting with people in the bar.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to imagine, like, someone stopping me and being like, hey, I want to get your number so we can fuck later. I'm like no.
That's matchy.
Really weird.
Okay. I can hear your name first, maybe?
Right? Like, it's just so weird to think about. Like, that's how these guys are approaching. And I think as dudes, it's easy to, like, not register, like, how weird that is for the girl that's happening to. Or you take 2 seconds to think about it, you're like, ooh, I don't know. that's very weird thing to do to people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, anybody who's like ever listened to a true crime podcast is like, that's a bad idea. Just give your number to people.
Yeah, that's how a lot of tragedies start. That's jeez.
Oh, yeah. She gave him this guy at the bar, and like, she gave her his number, or she gave her her number, and like, 2 days later, her body was found cut up pieces. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, like, that's how that shit goes. That's how that shit happens. And it's so crazy. And like, it's funny because you see these guys and they're talking about like how to pick up women. And they're like, oh, these women will have their defenses up. And they don't address like why they have those defenses up. Like there's pretty good reasons why women should be kind of more defensive and, you know, keep people at arm's length because of shit like that. But instead they're like, all right, here's how we're going to work around those defenses and do the thing that they suspect that we're going to do to them, right? Whether that's like just fuck them and never call them again, or just be like really, really shitty. Like, it's insane to me. I don't know. Like, I don't... And of course people buy that shit because I think they're just jaded. Maybe they don't have like the best social skills and they've been shot down a lot, or they're the product of a series of very unsuccessful relationships and they're like, oh, I just want to fuck the women now. I don't need no relationships. And I don't know, but there's usually, whenever you see them, there's like classroom stuff where they teach the techniques, and then there's stuff where they do it in the street. It's like the proof that it works.
Yeah.
And some of the classroom stuff is pretty funny when they try to get the students to do it. But the stuff in the street is priceless, especially when it's so obvious that it's not working.
Yeah.
Like the women they're talking to are just like super uncomfortable. They're like, okay, weird guy, go away now. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Yikes.
Man.
Big yikes.
So what got you to economics?
Well, funny story. So when I got into college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Well, scratch that. I did know what I wanted to do. It was just my family was not very supportive of it. Like, I've been doing martial arts since I was 4 years old, and that's a big part of what I've just done for my whole life. However, my parents were like, oh, you can't make a living at that. You know, like, that's not a career. I know, right? Like, that's kind of fucked up. But yeah, so initially what I wanted to do was, I used to work for like a large company.
Yeah.
And this company has branch schools all over the U.S. and they're based out of California. And if you go and you do the formal instructor training, which I had done sort of like introductory instructor training ever since I was 14, they taught me everything from like running the studio to advertising to teaching, all the stuff you need to know to successfully run that business. With the intent, of course, in the long run, you're supposed to take that person and put them in charge of a location. And that's kind of what I wanted to do at first. And at the time, I was considering forgoing college to do that instead, because at the time, I was the best employee they had, like in terms of skill, in terms of likability, in terms of professionalism, like I was the best they had. So if I had not gone to college, they definitely would have put me in charge of a studio. But my mom talked me out of it, and just a number of circumstances lined up to where I really only applied to go to one school and they let me in. So I was like, well, fuck it. So I went to school. And when I got there, I remember I wanted to go for an MBA, like a master's in business. So my undergraduate would have been in business. But I was, so I went to Texas A&M, but I went in through the PSA program, which means I started out at a feeder school in Corpus Christi, and they didn't offer undergrad business degrees. Like, you had to get a different degree, and then you could go to business school as a graduate program. So I started off in economics because I figured, that's, you know, it's adjacent, you know, it's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
So I started there, and then as I was getting my education, kind of what I wanted to do evolved a little bit. I was looking at kind of a law enforcement career for a while. And the reason I stuck with economics is because the more I would talk to the people at A&M, they apparently recruit from the FBI directly from the economics department, because a lot of FBI crime that they're going after now has more to do with white collar crime, you know, financial crimes, things of that nature. And so they want people with that background, and it pays better than a beat cop. So I was like, okay, maybe I can stick around for that. And then, then of course, turns out law enforcement is super shitty.
Yeah.
So I decided not to do that anymore. But by that time, I had pretty much, you know, gotten all my economics intensive credits done. And then I was looking at it as well, because I had to take some business classes in the course of getting my economics degree. And the thing you notice is that economics is, it's like a business degree, but it's much more large scale. Like, a business degree looks at, okay, you have a business, here's how you kind of keep that business running, here's how you hire people, here's how you, you know, the goods you have, all that shit. And then there's economics, where economics is more about like, okay, you have a business, but where does that business fit into the larger scheme of the American economy? Right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you become successful versus all these other businesses around you? And how do you understand the mechanics of a market to make yourself successful? So I thought, well, okay. Like, if I want to become an entrepreneur, because at the time, as it happens when you go out into college, you encounter a lot of new people, or a lot of new people with new ideas. And I did a lot of cross training for martial arts. I got into MMA. I did that for a while. And then I got into combatives. And it turns out I didn't want to teach like traditional martial arts. I was like, oh shit, like it's not what I thought it was, you know? And I wanted to open my own school and have my own organization for that. And so I would need the know-how, how to create a school, run it, and have it be successful in a market. So that's why I ended up sticking with economics. And it just happens to have been beneficial for kind of what I talk about now with, you know, my podcasting, and sometimes we touch on economic policy and politics and stuff. So some of that knowledge does come in handy. But yeah, it's just a bunch of coincidences that all happen to line up.
Yeah.
Hello everyone,
This is Brandon, the host of the ParaUnity Podcast, wanting to take a second to tell you about our show. The ParaUnity Podcast is your top choice for closing the distance between the paranormal groups. From ghosts to cryptids to ufology, we will discuss it all. The ParaUnity Podcast is aimed at promoting positivity and collaboration between investigators and is geared specifically for those in the field. But if you're not, you'll still get a kick out of the show as well, because you'll be able to think of it like ghost hunters talking shop. Tune in and join myself and all of our amazing guests as we entertain you with sensational stories of fantastic places, events, tips for your investigations, and so much more. And remember, you can find the ParaUnity Podcast on your favorite podcast directory and part of the Paranormality Radio Network.
Sounds like economics is like business for like, if I understand it from like high school economics class, is like business for a country, a country's business. I mean, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, it can be, yeah, for sure. Because like you definitely have to understand how countries interact with each other from on like an economic level. Yeah. You've got your trade exchange, you've got your imports, your exports. Your currencies, differences in currency, and why there's a difference there. So there's definitely that there. It does exist. I guess it just depends on how you specialize. Like, I always found it more interesting to look at, like, macroeconomics, like, in terms of, like, we can look at a specific market, and we can track the progress of that market. You can understand, like, competitive market price. You can understand supply and demand of that market, how it's affected by other markets, things like that. Which I think that's kind of what fucks people up a lot is with economics, you have to not just look at one thing. You have to understand how that one thing is affected by all the other things. And like, if there's something here in this unrelated field that changes, normally you would think it's intuitive to think like, oh, that's over there. That doesn't affect my thing, but it does. Like everything else gets fucked up because like the interest rate changed or, you know, something like that.
I was like reading or watching videos on like on money. And it's crazy. It's like a confidence thing. Since the gold standard went away.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it seems like when we're talking about the economy and we're talking about money and stuff, it's like it's not based on anything.
Yeah.
Like at least at one point in time, well, I mean, I guess technically it's never been based on anything. Like as far as gold is concerned, when we used to coin gold and silver, the thought process there was like, ooh, shiny, that's got value, you know? Like, yeah. We just kind of made that up.
Yeah.
Then once we got into credit cards and paper money, it got even more abstract to where it's, you're literally buying IOUs from the government,
yeah,
sort of,
yeah,
thing. You know, it's like, that's really all it is. And the way that the economy works now, like, oof, we've gotten ourselves into some shit. We are in a pickle, especially when you look at like the job economy and how people are being paid and just how wages have stagnated so much.
Yeah,
like it's completely ridiculous. Like I remember when just recently when they were doing the CARES Act and there was a $600 unemployment, you remember that?
Oh yeah.
The crazy part was people were making more on unemployment than they would make at their normal jobs.
Yeah.
And of course, the conservatives were like, oh, well, we need to lower the unemployment because then we're going to like de-incentivize people to work. It's like, no, motherfucker, you need to address why there are workers in this country who have like families and shit making less than $600 a week. Like, what the fuck? You can't live on that. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, like I make pretty good money at my day job for around here. And like, yeah, I get by. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that seems to be the case for a lot of people. Like, unfortunately, what's happened over the course of this country, workers have just gotten more and more shafted, like ever since the 50s. And I think that's why boomers are like, oh, you just got to bootstraps harder, because in the 50s you could do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like 1950s economy was probably the most booming economy the U.S. has ever seen because we were war profiteering for 10 years.
Yeah.
Of course we were in really good shape, you know? And back then, if you were a worker for like even just a local company in your area, you had like pensions, you had workers unions, you had, you know, all kinds of benefits that are disappearing. Nobody gets a fucking pension anymore unless you work for the government. Nobody gets a union anymore unless you work for the government. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus, now even 401ks, the thing that we're supposed to retire on, people are getting priced out of their 401ks. They're not retiring on that shit. They get like five solid years out of that shit, and then they have to go work at Walmart as a greeter just to make ends meet. Like, it's crazy. It's completely crazy. Oh, man.
I need to check my 401k. I haven't checked it.
I haven't had a 401k in a while. Like, if you got a 401k, you need to move it over to a Roth IRA, because, Jesus, 401ks... Like, it used to be the case that people got pensions, and pensions would give you, like, a decent amount of your income to retire on. So, like, every month you'd have a stipend of sorts. 401ks were just companies going, oh, that's too good of a deal. We can't do that. What we're going to do is we're going to have all our employees put a section of their money. We're going to take out a percentage of their paychecks, and we're going to have a big pot. And then we're going to put that pot into the stock market, and depending on how the stock market does, that's how much money you get back. Like, that's fucked. Like, you're literally gambling with people's retirement money. Like, fuck you, dude.
But yeah, who's that guy who, like, did that? Like, took people's retirements and, like, fucked them over bad.
Oh, you talking about Madoff? Bernie Madoff?
Yeah, Madoff. No.
Not him.
He's from New York, though.
He's one of the New York guys. Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, there's a lot of that, unfortunately. Like, There's a ton of retirement fund grifts right now. Like, I used to do insurance not that long ago.
Awesome.
And my insurance that I did, well, I'm certified to do life and health. Nope. And what I learned was, if anybody has anything to do with life insurance, do not talk to that person. They're probably going to grift you hard, real hard, no lube, just straight in there. And there was this one company, there was actually more than one, there was a few companies. First of all, they're run as MLMs, which is, that's a bad idea. Do not work for a fucking MLM. You do not get ahead with MLMs. But the product they're selling, it's crap. It's so bad. They literally make people, or they convince them to take their retirement funds and then move them over into these like shady ass accounts that are supposed to function as like 401ks, but they're not 401ks because they're based on the stock market. What they say is like, oh, you know, as the stock market does better, then we kind of lock in the highest price. So if it drops, your account doesn't drop, but everybody else's does. And it's like, well, wait a minute, how does that work though? Right? Yeah. Like there's a reason that the amount in your 401k drops when your company that's housing that 401k drops in the market. Means they're losing money, they're losing support from investors, as those investors are selling off their stock and their stock in the company. So how is it that you have this weird 401k not a 401k thing? Turns out that, if that company doesn't do so well, you don't get your retirement money ever. You just get screwed. Yeah. So, like, sometimes these companies, then they go belly up. People literally lose everything. So
that's fucked.
I know. It's real bad. It's real bad.
At my work, how they do it is, like whatever percentage you put in, like, they'll cover. That's how they do it. Don't forget about stuff.
So they do like the matching. Like if you put in 100, they put in 100.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the problem is they don't account for inflation, right? Yeah. Like a good company would be like, all right, you're putting in 100. We'll put in like 100 plus inflation for whatever this year's inflation rate is, so that it's 100 for 100. You know, because money loses buying power over time. That's what inflation does. That's why you can't buy like. You know, a fucking whistle for a penny anymore. Like nobody even uses pennies. Like they've been considering getting rid of pennies.
Oh shit! But, yeah, I heard that. It costs more to like make them. They're valued.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. Because nobody uses pennies anymore, just because like the inflation rate has gone so high. You're basically just using bills. Like almost like coins have almost been priced out in general.
Yeah.
Like just think about how much shit you can buy for 25 cents. List is pretty fucking short, right? Yeah. Exactly. So like especially with people using cards now, coins and bills are being used less and less and less because we're pricing ourselves out with the rate of inflation. So same thing's happening for people with 401ks. They put in like $10,000, $20,000, or $200,000 over the course of their career, and $200,000 like 30 years ago was a decent bit of money. But 30 years later, I mean, yeah, I hope you fucking paid off your house and your car and you're only paying utilities and you have very few overhead expenses, because otherwise your ass is going to be working at Walmart in like 3 years. So ridiculous.
Man, I can go through 30,000 year quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the amount you have to spend just in living expenses every year just to be alive.
Like just on utilities? Point.
Oh, fuck. Utilities. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's really bad. Dude. It's really bad. Think the problem is they stagnate wages, so nobody's making anything.
Yeah, know? Like, they were saying the same amount, but like prices keep going up. So what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really bad because then you've got like conservatives on the right who like want to protect the rich at the cost of everyone else, right?
Which is weird.
They're like, oh, well, you just need to bootstraps harder. But yeah, we want Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates to have like huge tax cuts and be able to take advantage of tax loopholes so they don't have to pay their fair share. That's fine. Because that trickles down somehow, except that it doesn't.
It doesn't,
because
we
figured that out with Reagan.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man. It's bad. It's real bad.
Okay. Oh, man. Because people will think, like, people want to keep their money. They don't want to pay more people. They're making more money. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think that's a conservative myth because they don't understand economics. They're like, oh, if we have a $15 minimum wage, then, like, your McDonald's cheeseburger is going to cost, like, $30. No, it's not. That's not how that works. Like, what are you talking about? Like, okay.
Oh, okay, you're right. Okay. But people won't pay $3 for a cheeseburger at McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. So to think about supply and demand a different way, you can think of it as demand is really people who can afford what you're selling at the price you're selling it at.
Yeah.
So McDonald's right now sells a burger for like, let's say it's $3. That seems expensive. But let's say it's $3.
Yeah.
So you at the $3 mark, basically everybody above the $3 mark in terms of demand can afford that cheeseburger and will buy that cheeseburger. But if you move the price up to $10, well, then you've priced yourself out of everybody below that price point in terms of demand because they can't afford it anymore. Even if they want it, they can't buy it. So if you go to $30, like only the very elite, the wealthy are going to that fucking McDonald's because everybody else is like, I can't afford a $30 fucking burger. So just because you pay your workers better, basically that just means that the company has to take a bigger hit on their profits. That's it. Because they know if they fucking charge $30 for a burger, they will go bankrupt like fucking like that because nobody's paying $30 for a burger. Fuck.
Yeah. Because like,
it's ridiculous.
I already do that. I never worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, I haven't had fast food jobs or anything like that, fortunately. Because I hear those are
sucky.
Those are real rough. Those are like the worst kind of jobs, you know? Yikes.
Yeah, because like people, it's like 30, like you're saying. Like, I want to pay $3 for a burger. You know? The fuck?
Oh, yeah.
And like people, I guess I'm pretty sure other people wouldn't, and like no one's buying our burgers. The fuck? We're making
what
no money.
What happened? Oh god! But no, it's just this excuse to like shit on the average person and be like, oh, you want rights and equal treatment and like you know a decent pay?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, that's all that works. I mean, did you see that thing? I think it was McDonald's and AT&T. They got together and they released this thing, and it was titled like "How You Can Make All Your Dreams Come True at a Minimum Wage Job." Did you see that shit? It's bullshit. It's so stupid. Like it's a budget that they mock. It's a mock budget, and what they do was they put all your expenses,
yeah,
and then they put like the McDonald's salary and then a second job over here. So you can't even do it with just McDonald's. You gotta have two jobs to make it happen.
Yeah.
And then they put like the expenses are such bullshit. They're like, oh, rent is like $400 and food is like $50.
$50 for food.
I'm like, what? Come on. $400 for rent? Like, where you live in a hut? Jesus Christ. And then, of course, at the end of it, the whole point of the budget sheet is to, like, get to the end and be like, you have $1,000 expendable income. Look at that. It's such horseshit.
Dude, I would love to get like $50 in food for groceries. It'd be amazing.
$50? Are you kidding me? Holy shit, that'd be awesome. Like, I go to Aldi's and like that shit's cheap as hell, but even then, I don't think I'd get away with spending less than $100 most times. That shit's crazy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if I'm frugal with grocery shopping, $100. Like, around $100. I'll spend some fat ass and like to eat.
So that's why I like to go to Aldi's in the Asian markets.
Yeah.
You can get really good deals at the Asian market. Like, I didn't know, but I was like, oh shit, this is actually really good food and it's cheap as hell. So
what's your favorite thing to get there? Shopping.
Do what?
What's your favorite thing to get there?
Ooh, that's hard. That's hard. Because I like to cook, so that's one of my hobbies is cooking. And whenever I go to the Asian market, I always like to get fresh sushi ingredients. Ooh. I had a buddy locally. He worked at a sushi bar, and he taught me how to make sushi, and he learned in, like, Japan. So it's like, yeah, very, very traditional, very, very good. So whenever I go, I like to get sushi ingredients. But whenever I'm feeling lazy, like, those steamed pork buns, have you ever had those?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, so good. Oh, yes. I'll get a big bag of the frozen ones that, like, you can microwave in, like, 2 minutes, and oh, yeah. That's some good shit. Those pork buns are, the best.
What's some misconceptions about sushi most people have?
Kind of depends. So, usually with sushi, I think maybe number one is the rice. I think people just assume, I need to go get sushi rice, and then I can make sushi.
No.
Which... yeah, you do need sushi rice, that's true, but they do stuff to the rice. Like, that's what makes it taste good. Like, if you've ever had sushi rice that wasn't properly prepared, it's just rice.
It's plain as shit.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real disappointing. You have to, like, have this sort of mixture. It's mostly, like, cooking wine or marian, which is more of, like, an oriental cooking wine. And then you got your rice vinegars, you got some sugar in there, a little bit of soy sauce sometimes, just depends on the recipe. And then you sort of glaze your rice, and that way it's got a flavor to it, you know? The other one, I mean, sushi is pretty straightforward. I think as long as, like, the fish... Oh, that's one that sometimes people misconstrue. I think a lot of people think you need super, super fresh fish. Sometimes that's not always the case. Mm. Like, there's a guy out in Japan, I remember seeing a thing about this. He is actually very proud of the fact that his fish is frozen, and he thaws it out, before his restaurant opens up, and that's the fish he uses for the day. It's not like, you know, it just came fresh off the boat sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the reason why, apparently very, very fresh catches have very little flavor. Like, they're very subtle versus if you freeze them or they age a little bit, the flavors become more pronounced. Mm. So, like, what you would get in, like, a sushi bar, say, like, a salmon or a tuna.
Yeah.
A lot of the times those have been frozen, and of course they've been shipped, so there's like some preservatives in there which will affect, you know, how the flavor is and all that. But very rarely will you see a lot of sushi places take very, like, fresh catches and try to make sushi out of that, because it turns out it's not super flavorful.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense.
Hey everybody, Smetaner. Just let you know that I'm doing a giveaway here's what you gotta do. Go to twitch.tv/G1Tanner. The first 50 followers will be entered in our raffle for a free piece of merch of your choice. I'll put the link down in the description so you can find it easier too. Thanks.
Because so, like, some fish, like, it's super fresh, like, all tastes like ocean.
Yeah, know? Yeah, that tends to be the problem, is this, I don't know, something about, like, you want the fish to age just a little bit, like, you don't want it to be bad, obviously,
yeah.
But you want it to have a little bit of time to marinate and have those natural flavors come out, which, I didn't know that was kind of an interesting thing I learned from my sushi buddy.
I learned, like, sushi's actually cooked a little bit, is that right?
It depends on the sushi, because yeah, there are some sushis that are cooked. You can't serve them raw.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
like crab, like can't cook.
Yeah, but like crab has to be like well, it depends. Like if you have fake crab, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like most places for like California rolls and shit, that's not real crab.
Yeah.
Anybody who thinks it is, I hate to burst your bubble, but that's real crab, not real crab.
Way better.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I like the fake crab. I'm like, oh, this is fucking delicious.
Yeah.
so yeah, the fake crab, they don't really cook it, but I think it's like, I think it's sea urchin or like one of those that has to be cooked. I don't spend a lot of time on that because those ingredients are a lot more expensive and there's more prep time, so I don't fuck with that. But I hear it's really good though.
And yeah, like the fucking spider rolls and shit. That's good.
Oh yeah, spider rolls. See, like whenever I go to a sushi place, I have like my set things that I like to buy. Like I got my salmon rolls, I got my tuna rolls, I got my rainbow roll, I got my crunch roll, and my eel roll. And I'll buy like 5 rolls of sushi, and they'll be like, "Holy shit, that's a lot of sushi." I'll be like, "Yeah, and put a ramen on that too."
Mm-hmm.
Like, like I'll have this sushi and ramen banquet. So like anytime I go out to eat sushi, I probably drop a decent bit of money, but man, am I well fed. So good. So good.
First time I had like sushi, it was like at a Chinese buffet. Mm-hmm. And it was like really bad.
Like, awful. Yeah, no, this like basically if they don't prepare it in front of you, I don't trust it. You know what I mean? Like, unless I see them make it, I'm like, all right, because like whenever I go to my favorite sushi bars, I sit like right at the bar, and that's how my buddy, you know, how we started talking and how he eventually taught me to make sushi, because I would watch him do it and I'd be like, hey, why are you doing that? Hey, what's that? You know, I'd have just questions, just talking to the guy. And but like if I go to, I figured out that Kroger sushi is garbage. Do not buy Kroger sushi. It's, I don't know what they do to it. If they like yell at the fish for 3 hours before they fucking make it, and it's like traumatized, but the fish meat is terrible. But if you go to HEB, their sushi is a lot better. I don't know what they do to it again. I think that's one of the places where they actually prepare it in front of you. But then once they finish, they put it in the cooler thing and it sits there for a while. So I don't know. Maybe they're better about rotating their inventory.
Yeah.
But the pot stickers over at Kroger are better than the ones at HEB. At HEB, they're a little too stiff. Like the outer skin is real tough. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, what'd you do to that? Like, that's just supposed to be like a noodle, you know?
Yeah.
But,
oh man. So I have a random question generator.
Oh sweet, love random questions.
What would be the worst thing to hear as you are going under anesthesia before heart surgery?
Oh shit, that's not supposed to go there. I think, yeah, that'd probably be the worst.
I think I'm gonna be like, do you see, I've seen my keys?
Whoops. Oh god. Oh no. Fucking, I remember my dad used to work in ER back in, way back in the day, in Michigan, or actually Detroit. He was in the ER. My uncle still works there. He's like head of surgery or something. And some of the shit that rolls through the ER is fucking unreal.
Is there a lot of people stuff up their butts?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of butt stuff for some reason. Like, I don't know why, but butt stuff seems to be real big. Like here's the thing. If they're into butt stuff, that's cool. You know, do your butt stuff thing. That's fine. But have a plan, you know? Yeah. Like have a string attack. Exactly. Some way to get it out, because that seems to be what happens, is they have like this idea like, oh, that'd be so fun, and then it gets stuck up there and they're like, all right, it's further up than I can reach, and I am now ready to farm this out to a professional. Like, you gotta have a plan, man. That's not, yeah, don't just start trying stuff. That's not good. Like, I feel like even like dominatrixes and stuff, they'll have like tools just in case shit goes wrong, like a first aid kit on the side, and like there's stuff there to where if things start to go off the rails, you can like course correct, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, oh man. Random butt stuff. But no, I remember he used to tell me a lot about guitar string injuries apparently were fairly common.
Ooh,
go figure.
Man.
It's like they would have what's up?
I think I would like, I got something stuck in my butt. I'm like, okay, we gotta eat 10 boxes of Raisin Bran or something. We'll put this thing out.
Get a lot of fiber. Move that out. Oh, man. I think the butt stuff in particular was dangerous because if they didn't get that out, they'd have like a blockage.
Yeah.
And then you gotta like, if the blockage gets big enough, then you gotta like have surgery and they like squeeze it out of there, which, oof, rough. Oh man, I had a so my uncle who still works in the ER out in Detroit, he has these crazy stories about when he used to do clinicals when he was going through medical school. But apparently a lot of his clinicals were done at like an asylum, and it was particularly an asylum for the criminally insane. So this was back in like probably the 70s. So I mean, the way we treated people with mental health back then, it wasn't
great.
It wasn't amazing, yeah, but it was better than like what had come before, you know. Yeah. But it was still a work in progress, you know. And he told me this story. Apparently, like, he was the orderly in charge of like getting people ready in the morning. You know, it was like him and like three other guys, but really he was running the show. And he had this system he figured out. So what he would do is he'd wake up all the inmates, or not inmates, what are they, the patients. He'd wake up all the patients, and then he'd line them up outside of the bathroom, and it was like conveyor belt style. So he'd send one person in to like brush their teeth, and then he's like, okay, now you go to the shower, and then while they're showering, the next person brushes their teeth, and then the shower guy gets out of the shower, and he goes and he takes a shit. And then when you're done taking a shit, you go and get your clothes and whatever, and you're out. So it's like four stations, and you just have this line running through the stations. Excuse me. And every once in a while, there would be a hiccup, right? There was, something would go wrong. And he told me this one time. He was sending people through, and they were going from the shower into the bathroom to take a shit. And there was like basically two stalls. So you could like double up. You got one guy in this stall, one guy in this stall. And something went wrong where he just like pushed a guy into a stall, like, okay, now go take a shit. And then it was on a timer, so they had like 5 minutes, right? And so after the 5 minutes were up, he would like knock on the door, and then they opened it up, and it was just two dudes stuck in a stall. One guy was still sitting on the toilet, the other guy was just standing in front of him like, I don't, what do we do? I don't know. I was like, oh man, that's super awkward. Imagine being the dude just taking a shit, then some guy just gets shoved in there, just like looking at each other like, hey, what's going on, buddy?
He's like, oh, man. Looking like right in the eye while you squeeze one out.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's pretty much how it went down. It's like, oh man, that's super awkward. Oh, but apparently he had another patient who like ate a whole box of gloves, rubber gloves. Yeah, he just ate the whole thing.
Oh, what's that
like,
called?
How? Like, I can't even imagine eating one pair of gloves. Like, those rubber gloves are all like, they're so chewy. How would you swallow them, you know? But he went through the whole box. They were like, oh shit. So they had to like get that guy into surgery and like literally pull all the gloves out of there.
Damn.
But man, fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's that thing like people eat like weird shit, like a sepsis or something. You eat like a pencil savings or whatever.
Or something. Yeah.
Shit. What do you think your future self remember about you now?
Huh. My future self. What will my future self remember about me now? Well, I guess the podcasting stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm only in my first 8 months of doing this, And like I said, I've had a pretty positive reception so far. I got picked up by an entertainment network very quickly. I got picked up in like 6 months.
That's awesome.
And they invited me in. So, I mean, that was a surprise. I didn't expect that. But ever since then, I've gotten way, way more involved. Like, every week now I'm producing one audio thing and one live stream. And it's an alternating week, so like 1 week I'll do a full episode, and like this week, probably when we're done here, I'll finish up with a short, like 30-minute to an hour podcast about just like one thing. And then we also have like Tuesday, Thursday live streams that I do, and on top of that, I also do a co-hosting on another podcast on Mondays about MMA stuff. I have a lot of background there, but yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of lucky when I got in, just because, you know, lockdown and COVID and quarantine and stuff, so it gave me a good outlet for that sort of thing. And like looking back, I think it's probably gonna be like, well, made the best of kind of a shitty situation, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's nothing else to do, and I found an outlet, and I just kind of got into it, and it took off faster than I was expecting, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so yeah, I think the other thing I'll remember is, like, I think I've said it multiple times on my own podcast, is like, we are in a point of living history right now. Like, all the shit that has happened, particularly in the last 2 years, but if you want to go out to 4 years, 4 years hasn't been great. You know, there's been a lot of crazy shit go down. And I mean, we literally lived through the first time that Americans stormed the U.S. Capitol and like tried to murder people. Like, that's crazy. That's completely insane. Like, I remember what's that comedian, the guy who got in trouble for jacking off on the phone, Louis C.K. So he has that bit about, he was like making fun of millennials, and he was like, oh, you guys think you had a crazy president, I lived through Nixon, you know. And he got onto a helicopter and he cried and he flew away and stopped being the president. Like, that's the craziest thing that's ever happened. It's like, oh yeah, motherfucker, we got Trump. Trump. That was the president of my youth. Literally the dude who bragged about sexually assaulting women, and then his fan base was like, yeah, that's fine. All that's good. Yeah. Like, they didn't give a shit. And then he incited an insurrection. Like, he went on TV and he was like, hey, we have to fight, wink, wink. And then they stormed the Capitol building. Like, it doesn't get any more insane than that. And then he wouldn't resign, or he wouldn't concede. He wouldn't concede for like how many months? Like 3-4 months almost. This dude was still like, no, I won. Yeah, I was the winner there. It was fake votes. Count the real votes, not the fake votes. I'm the winner.
That's funny, because like he was telling everybody, like, don't use mail-in ballots. They're all bullshit. And exactly how you lost.
Exactly. And it's so funny because the Republican Party was like, don't say that. Are you fucking insane? Like, you know how many retirees we're losing out on because you're shitting on mail-in votes? But
as this whole demographic, like old people.
Yeah. I mean, it was real bad when he lost, what was it, like the Sunny Acres or whatever, those retirement communities out in Florida. And they're like, not Trump. Not Trump. We're boomers and conservatives, fuck, but we're not voting for Trump because he's just too much, you know? Like, that's when you know you're pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Think about it, like, the last 12 years have been crazy.
Oh, dude, insane. Absolutely insane.
Like, the first black president, and now we have the first female vice president. That's dope.
I know, like, that's dope. It's weird. It's like we have progress and craziness in equal measure, you know? Like we had Barack Obama, which was great. And I'm saying that as someone who is a little bit critical of some of the things Obama did. Like, he could have been less drone strikey, in my opinion. Yeah. But overall, he was a decent president, especially when you look at what we got next, right? Yeah. you had Trump, which was the obvious, like, F you choice, you know? Like, fuck you, liberals.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he won, you know? And then, for the first time in American history, you had a president where every day there was some crazy shit about what he did. Like, the news was like, what did he do today? And of course, it was like something completely ridiculous that any other president, it would have cost him the presidency, like, right there. But he just kept doing it. He never stopped.
Yeah.
And then finally, everybody hated him. So after 4 years, we vote him out, obviously.
Yeah.
But his main weapon was conspiracy theories. He literally, like, that was what he used and weaponized to try to stay in power and do a fascism. Like, what the hell? So I'm glad he lost, and that's cool that we got like Kamala Harris. And honestly, I'm more impressed with Biden than I was expecting to be, especially in, you know, the first couple of days. He did like 28 something executive orders. A lot of those were pretty useful. I think he's starting. It's good progress. We definitely need to see more out of him, but I was expecting Biden to be way more milquetoast than he's been so far, and I'm hoping he keeps that up. I'm hoping like AOC, Bernie Sanders, the progressives in the Democratic Party keep pressure on him so that he'll keep up what he's been doing. But I'm also sort of afraid of what's going to happen after this, you know, like what's the retribution come 2024.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's going to be Trump again. He's too old. I don't necessarily see him running again. And if he does, it's going to be the Patriot Party or whatever. And they're going to be too small to win. You know, he's kind of screwed himself over by making his voter base a lot smaller and a lot more specialized. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Republican or the GOP won't put up like an equally crazy dude just to try to balance things out, you know? It just seems to be the pattern. It's a little terrifying.
Trying to go to be that GOP candidate for 2024.
I mean,
Pence?
Maybe, because he does have the evangelical vote, for sure. Excuse me, that's the only reason that they had him running with Trump, because you got Trump over there who's like, I love Jesus and I love the Bible, and then he's like holding it upside down or some shit. Like, he says 2 Corinthians, like, the dude's never opened a Bible. It's so fucking obvious the dude's never read the Bible. He couldn't tell you what an Abraham was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Pence was supposed to be there to like reel in the evangelical vote and go, oh, okay, even if he's not like an evangelical, the dude who's there, you know, helping steer the ship will steer towards like, you know, abortion bans and you know, trying to get creationism into schools and shit like that. The typical stuff that the evangelical base wants. So I think he would be a good choice for like riling up that particular base or that part of the Republican base. But he's not very charismatic. He's pretty fucking boring.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I think the GOP has kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit by getting Trump in there first, because Trump, you know, love him, hate him, he is good at drawing a crowd. That's the one thing he's really good at is riling up the base and getting a lot of support. And they don't have a lot of those people on their side. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have a whole lot of other people they can turn to and go, who's another guy who can do that? It doesn't exist.
I can't think of anybody. But,
they don't got anybody. They just have people who are popular for like really bad reasons.
Yeah.
Like, you got your Mitch McConnells, which after blocking COVID relief over and over and over again, when people were like literally not knowing how they were going to pay their rent, people are not happy with Mitch McConnell. People are not happy with really most of the Republican Party, because they started to jump ship after Trump started losing his goddamn mind. And they're like, all right, we're out. This is too much. We cannot get behind this anymore. So, I mean, geez, it's a tough one. I don't know where they're going to go next. Like, they've kind of exhausted their best option. And now what they're left with is just options that nobody really cares about. You know what I mean?
They would have to, like, find like a charismatic guy and like have like really good policies that everybody can like want to have.
Yeah, see, that's the tough part, right? If you're a conservative, your policies are inherently not very popular because you're trying to conserve the old status quo. So when it comes to like workers' rights, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, lowering the tension in race relations between, you know, black communities and the police and stuff, as a conservative, you're like on the wrong side of that, because you're like, no, guys, let's make it like the 1950s again. It's like, no, dude, 1950s was not a cool time. So it's hard for them to come up with policy. So they're going to have to get like maybe they'll look at some guy like the what's his name, the My Pillow dude, the guy who's been with Trump the whole time, you know, like someone like that who's kind of a wild card. They're like, oh, he'll say crazy things to get the racist ass, you know, part of our support group riled up, because that's what Trump did. Like, he got the white supremacists and all the racists all riled up, and they're like, yeah, we'll vote for that guy because he's protecting the white people. So, I mean, they could try something like that, but then they know where that goes. Like, they saw what happened with Trump and just how badly that went and how quickly they lost control of that situation. So, I mean, it might be the case that the Republican Party gets pulled more center so that they have to start being more like socially liberal, but still maybe maintain some of those, you know, conservative fiscal policies, which are still not great. They still focus around protecting the rich and shitting on the working people. But I mean, that might be the best play they've got, because with you know, mail-in voting and, you know, the strides that Biden is making right now with like Biden Care, lifting the transgender ban and all that stuff. So they would have to undo all that work, which would be incredibly unpopular.
What the fuck? There's a transgender ban? On what?
He did lift the transgender ban, yeah, which is awesome. I mean, they can now serve in the military.
Oh, what the fuck?
They can't care for trans people.
There's a ban on them? The fuck?
Oh, there was. Trump put one on like pretty early in his presidency. Yeah.
Well, that's fucked up. What the fuck?
I know, right? like he did so much fucked up stuff. You forget about that. You're like, oh yeah, he did. He did ban the transgenders from fighting in the army. It's easy to forget that type of shit. But on his way out, he passed like three really atrocious fucking things just as a final fuck you to everybody. I don't know if you saw that. It was like, adoption agencies can discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, meaning they can discriminate against gay couples and not give them kids.
Oh, that's
there's
fucked.
Another one. Yeah, there's a similar thing with like social workers, I think. And what was the other one? There was another one that was equally fucked up. But those were like three things on his way out the door. He was like, ha, fuck y'all. And then Biden did reinforce the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which basically made it so that you can't do that.
Yeah.
So that was good. He at least reversed that. But yeah, he lifted the transgender ban. He also stopped the construction of Trump's wall, which
like that would ever happen.
They started to build it and they're like, it's a victory, and they got like 20% of the border done. Like, how is that a victory? It's just gonna go around the part that doesn't have the wall. Like, even the part that has the wall, all they've done is create a market for slightly taller ladders. Like, that's where's the win here? I don't see it. Jesus Christ. Oh God. But yeah, no, he's also done a lot of stuff for like COVID, which it's nice to have a president who actually takes the fucking coronavirus seriously.
Yeah.
Because the last one was like, holy shit, that was real bad. That was real bad. And he still doesn't take responsibility for like, what do we have, 420,000 dead people? He's like, yeah, it wasn't my fault. I did everything perfectly. This could have gone a lot worse. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. And there at the end of his presidency, he was advocating for fucking herd immunity as a strategy for dealing with COVID, which, that's not good. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's basically just, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to let this play out. And whatever happens, happens. Big oof. Right.
Are you looking for a new adventure? Did you ever want to visit the city where all your nightmares reside? Well, you're in luck. Join us, your tour guides, Christine and Jen, to visit Nopeville, where you will be personally escorted on an all-inclusive trip through the city and see all possibilities of terror and fright.
You'll see all sorts of things on your tours, including, but definitely not limited to, the paranormal, true crime, the supernatural, and more. If you're into all that and enjoy a little dark humor, book your tour today and nope right along with us. Check us out on our website at nopevillepodcast.com to see where you can listen to Nopeville today.
Fortunately, we've got a ton of monies headed towards, I think it was development or manufacturing and distribution of the COVID vaccine. It's getting it out, you know, as quickly as possible. So that's good. It's just right now, of course, you got the conspiracy theorists going, oh, there's microchips in the vaccine. They're going to microchip you.
Oh, you're stupid.
Which is so funny, because like
they're saying this on her phone. They're saying this like while they're on her phone. That's for tracking them already.
You got one of these, right?
Yeah.
It's a brick full of microchips.
They're already tracking us in.
Why do they need one in your body, too? Like, what's the point? God. Oh, man.
I heard about, like you got to put microchips in your... And the vaccine is going to be numbered. Like, the number of the beast. It's just happening.
That's what it is! That's what they think it's the number of the beast thing. They used to think it was barcodes. Now it's, like, microchips. And then they were also doing, I saw one guy talking about like VR and augmented reality is just another step of that.
Yeah.
Like they're like trying to trick humanity and make us not know what's real and what isn't anymore. Like, bro, calm down. It's a video game. Chill the fuck out.
Man, yeah. Like I think they like serve like the companies, like, I don't think it is. I think like 80-100% of people like just wanna like pay their bills, go to work, like, eat some food, and like the companies like just wanna give people some money, give them some work, make some money, you know? Don't give a fuck about your fucking tracking you, what the fuck.
I mean, there's so many better ways to do it, right? And they're using all those ways right now. Like you, like setting aside what the government's doing because of the Patriot Act, like they, there's like no privacy just on that basis alone. But like the kinds of resources that marketing companies have nowadays, like the things they track, like putting a microchip in your body wouldn't give them any new information. You know what I mean? Like on your phone, you can pair your phone to like your Apple Watch, which gives them, you know, your heart rate, your blood sugar. Your fucking all your vitals. Like what else could they need? They already have your search history. They already know like where you've been, where you're going, because your fucking phone tracks you.
Yeah.
Like what else is there that like they need the microchip to do that, but they can't get it for some reason unless it's in your bloodstream? It's, I don't know. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, it was like, was it Snowden was like saying he's on Joe Rogan? It's like if you have a camera or a microphone on your device, like they're listening.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Like, have you seen? Did you see the? What was it? The Last Week Tonight, where they did talked about the Patriot Act and like the government tracking you.
Oh yeah, it's fucked.
And he talked to Edward Snowden. He talked to Edward Snowden. And he's like, he wanted to know like if the government could get your dick pics. And he went like line by line in terms of like what gadgets they have. It's like, all right, can they see your dick pic or not? It was a really good bit. It was funny as hell.
Shit. Who around you has the worst look?
Who around me has the worst look? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Who has the worst look? I would say probably like a lot of Zoomers out there that are like right now, what are they in, like high school or something, give or take, a little bit older, on the older end of that, and like some of the fashion things I see, which I mean, it was high school, I had some questionable fashion choices, but like now the questionable fashion choices I had in high school were not nearly as questionable as some of the shit I see now. I'm like, holy shit, what? Like what? I saw, what was it? It was like this chick walking around with this shirt that's a drunk slut. I was like, I don't know about that shirt.
I don't know about that. Maybe not that shirt, you know?
I don't know. Part of that, I think, is you know, society and over-sexualizing, you know, younger and younger generations.
Weird.
Like, you know, exposing them to the beauty. And yeah, it is super weird, especially when it's like basically just the beauty industry trying to make more money. You know what I mean? Like, trying to sell their fucking products and be like, oh, you need to be sexier and buy our thing so you're sexier. And oh, you need to buy the sexy clothes to go with the sexy makeup. So,
you know what's weird? Like clothes for the girls, like low girls. You have like low cut, like cleavage cuts in their shirts. It's weird.
Yeah, it's super. They don't even have boobs. Like, what? What are you doing? What are you doing? Yikes. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it has to do with, you know, the clothing industry and how models are portrayed as like, yeah, they like look at that type of clothing style and they're like, ah, oh, that's the optimum clothing style. But it's like there should be an age limit on that, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like don't market that if they're way too young. I feel like anybody looking at it like a 7-year-old in a low cut shirt is like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's objectively weird. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I agree.
Yikes.
As I get older, like I remember being in high school, like 17-year-old girls were like, they were hot. Now they're like kids. It's weird.
Freaking time does that shit to you, man. Like back then, you know, I guess it just has to do with life experience, you know. Like I remember back when I was in high school, like I'd be attracted to people who I'd never be attracted to now on the basis of like their personality, you know. Like back then all I give a shit about was like how they looked, but now it's like if there's a very objectively attractive woman who's also like a super conservative, I'm like, ah, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not gonna happen, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think back then it wasn't as bad as it is now in terms of like how they're being targeted by these clothing and makeup companies. Like it still existed for sure, but I don't think it was quite, I don't remember it being this bad. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't remember 15-year-old me walking around and seeing some of the ways that the 15-year-olds nowadays are dressing and it's like socially acceptable. And like, you know, I don't want to be a boomer and be like, oh, your clothes are got dressed more modestly. It's just like there's a line there. And I feel like sometimes that line is crossed because they are still minors. You know what I'm saying? Like if someone who's like an MAP or a fucking pedophile looks at that and goes, ha, perfect, then there's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Man, this is really fucked up joke. There's two pedophiles sitting in a park at a bench in a park. And 12-year-old goes by and first pedophile says, ooh, pretty hot piece of ass there. Second one's like, yeah, I bet I look pretty good about it. But I look pretty good back in the day too.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh. You know, they're starting to be like, there's starting to be pedophile apologists, which I don't think we've had those before, or maybe we've had them. Yeah, it's real bad. Pedophile apologists. That's where the MAP term. I think it's minor attracted persons.
Oh yeah.
It's just like it's a pedophile.
Yeah.
It's a pedophile. That's what that is. But they're trying to also elbow their way into the LGBTQ community and be like, we're one of you guys. And they're like, no, you're not. Fuck off. Go away.
Yeah.
It's, oh man, I don't remember that ever being acceptable, but now there's guys out there who are like, it's okay to be a pedophile, that's not so bad, we just want to have sex with children, what's wrong with that? That's everything, that's not good, that's a bad. Yikes.
So, where people can find you at?
Pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere.
In terms of my audio podcast, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm on I think I'm on like 11 platforms now. So any of the major podcasting platforms, I'm definitely there. You can find me on some of the minor ones too, like SoundCloud and Breaker and Stitcher and stuff like that. Most people like to use the Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, stuff like that. In terms of my video content, pretty much Twitch. Yeah. I go on alternating weeks, Tuesday, Thursday. This week is a Tuesday week. So I'll be on Tuesday with actually a guest this time, my buddy from Friday Night Music Party, Jim.
Cool.
He's a funny guy. We're going to be doing a stream or a variety stream.
When's that? Wheel. I want to watch it.
It's going to be around 5 my time, 5 Central.
On Friday?
So Eastern, it's like... Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday at 5 Central. That's when that's going to happen. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. We got some Nerdiverse stuff, talking about DC and Marvel. We got some right-wing chud stuff we're going to talk about. Some Karen videos.
Okay.
Tate Watch. Oh, Tate Watch. That's delicious. Yeah. And then Thursdays are more like deep dive topics. Like this past Thursday was supposed to be a deep dive topic, but you know, life got in the way, so it ended up being a variety stream. But going forward, Thursdays are more like, you know, I pick on a subject and either I have a guest or I just tackle it myself and just do ranty stuff and just comment. So yeah, it'll be Tuesday this week, Thursday next week, and of course alternating weeks for the audio podcast as well. On Tuesday weeks, I've got, you know, full episodes that are usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then on the deep dive Thursday weeks, it's like a 30 minute to an hour, one topic short podcast, which is going to be this week. This week's topic, I'm going to be talking about how creators try to shame their listeners into getting money and stuff like that, shaming for subscribers and my opinions on that sort of thing. So it's going to be a rant, but I'm going to have fun with it.
It'll be fun. I'd like to listen to that.
Yeah.
Oh, we got anything like to promote or anything?
That's pretty much just my stuff. I also do a co-hosting on Cage My IQ. That's on Mondays around, I want to say 7 Central. It's a podcast I co-host from my entertainment network that I'm a part of, from the Buzz Network. And it's where I talk about MMA stuff. Like I said, I've done martial arts like my whole life. I spent some time in MMA in college and in high school. So we talk about fight card predictions, like whenever there's a big fight card coming up. Or what we started doing now is on weeks where there's not really a whole lot of fighting going on in terms of like pay-per-views or major fights. We'll just talk about like news and stuff that's going on. Like I think obviously this past Monday we talked about how McGregor got his ass beat by Poirier and like how big of a shock that was to everybody. And we also had a whole bit on who was worse, Dana White or Ed McMahon. So it was a whole thing. But I'll be on that on Mondays as well. But yeah, so far that's all I got. I don't really have a whole lot of like merch or anything like that. So it's just me.
Cool. I really appreciate you having coming on.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. Got to touch on a lot of different topics. A whole lot of good stuff here.
I'd like to have you on again and talk about
absolutely
cryptids next time.
All right, let's do it. Just give me a heads up on what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'll do a little bit of research, do some digging around.
No problem.
What's funny is I actually have a little bit of experience with like Mexican stuff because I grew up in a Mexican family and stuff. So some of that folklore kind of bled over, especially since I grew up in like El Paso, which is right on the border.
Yeah.
So you can literally go to El Paso and find like traditional Mexican shaman who will like do a cleansing with the egg and and the bush whacking, and like it's a whole thing. So it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for watching or listening.